You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
When you look in the Bible, there were kings that God specifically pointed out that they would lead their people to do evil. One of them was King Jeroboam over in 2 Kings. As a matter of fact, one of the things that the Bible would say that he enticed Israel away from following the Lord. He enticed Israel away from following the Lord. As a matter of fact, God made a reference to this 18 times. 18 is the number of bondage. Okay, all right. And so you have leaders. It's an ungodly thing when you have leaders that promote sin. You know, when I look at the secular leaders, political leaders, whatever party you affiliate yourself with, we thank God for them, but we just need them to pay the bills and keep a few, you know, things in order, but we don't need them to promote social issues, ungodly social issues. You see that there were leaders in the Bible that did such a thing. Let's talk about Pharaoh. He's a good example. Oh, glory to God. Because I think sometimes we're looking at these nice suits and we're looking at how, you know, political leaders can be all dressed up and stuff like this. But one of the things that when we look and we dabble in the Bible, we realize that Pharaoh had sorcerers and witches on his payroll. That's right. And, you know, witchcraft involves control. Oh, glory to God. And it involves control. They want to control you, those that practice this art. They want to get you to do what they want to get you to do. Control your life. Dictate to your life. And so one of the things that happened is that when Moses went to Pharaoh, he began to tell Pharaoh that the Lord is saying, "Let my people go." Oh, glory to God. And it wasn't like Pharaoh didn't realize or didn't know that this was the voice of God. He knew it was the voice of Almighty God. As a matter of fact, especially after several signs, he began to try to negotiate with Moses. Here was God saying, "Let my people go that they may serve me." One of the things that the enemy wants to do is keep you from serving God. He wants to control your life. He kept them in bondage and slavery and constantly working that they didn't have time to worship. Oh, glory to God. And so Pharaoh said, "Okay, well, all right, you can go. You can go." As the story goes, there was things that he would try to negotiate. He says, "But your children can't go. Your women and your children can't go." Well, I don't know about you, but oh, glory to God, I don't want to serve God without my wife, and I don't want to serve God without my children. Oh, glory to God. God continued to send Moses to say, "Let my people go." And God was judging. God was judging the leadership because Pharaoh was also a picture of leadership. He's a picture of government. He's a picture of government that's controlling the people, dictating to the people, keeping witchcraft and sorcery upon the people. And so God was saying, "Let my people go," not only from a natural bondage, but this was a spiritual bondage also. And here's Pharaoh. Pharaoh, like I said, he knew it was the voice of God. He says, okay, you can go, but you know, I want your cattle. Let your cattle remain here. Well, how are we going to serve God without going and doing any sacrifices? Can I tell you something? Oh, glory to God. Sometimes people are trying to serve God without any offerings. How many know that your money is, when I serve God, I serve God with my money also. I worship with my money also. Oh, glory to God. The book of Leviticus, God spends just about an entire book talking about the offerings, the different type of offerings and sacrifices. And so here's Pharaoh continuing to try to negotiate while God is saying, let my people go. He says, okay, all right, I'll let you go. But you can just remain here and just worship him here. And Moses was like, well, that's not going to work. That's not going to work when your people begin to see us, you know, sacrificing and these, you know, sheep and goats and stuff. They're going to get mad and, hey, they're going to come after us. They're going to begin to attack us. That's not going to work. We need to go 3 days into the wilderness that we might sacrifice unto our God. Oh, glory to God. And so judgment was upon Pharaoh and upon the people. And, you know, the main cause of it being up even upon the people of Egypt was that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Come on. And he wouldn't allow the people of God to go. Oh, glory to God, even to worship. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that leadership can be corrupt. Oh, glory to God. Leadership. This is why sometimes, and I don't care about your affiliation. Oh, glory to God with who you vote for, but you ought to vote for people that have a godly fear, and not only have a godly fear, because we got people that are saying, you know, I'm a Christian, right? Well, I don't know about you, but if God has a problem with something, I got a problem with something. You know, if God has a problem with something, I got a problem with that also. Oh, glory to God. Let me say this here. The Bible talks about Balaam and Balak. Balaam and Balak. Balak was this, he was a king. He was a king of Moab and the people of Moab. He's another picture of government. He's another picture of a leader that's involved in witchcraft and sorcery. He's a picture of a leader that not only is involved in witchcraft and sorcery, but he hires a double agent prophet. You know, you have some people, they don't love the Lord, praise God, but they know how to tap into the spirit realm. And there was a false prophet, glory to God, that was a false prophet. And so Balak, the king of Moab, hired him to come that he might curse Israel, that he might curse the people of God. And God wasn't having it. God was not going to allow it. And after he realized that God wasn't going to allow it, as a matter of fact, let's run over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, I believe it's, Numbers, my fault, Numbers, excuse me. Numbers 25 and verses 1 through 3. The Bible says Israel abide in Shittim, and the people begin to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. In other words, the people begin to sleep with the daughters, the people of God begin to sleep with the daughters of Moab. And this is the result that happened from them beginning to go after the women that were the Moab women. And they call the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat, and they bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself to Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. In other words, they began to serve the god of Baal. Now, how did this happen? How did this come about? Can I tell you something? The Bible lets us know over in the book of Revelations, chapter 2, verse 14, that when God, when he would not allow Balaam, who was hired by the king of Moab, Balak, when he would not allow this prophet, this false prophet, this two-way prophet to curse Israel, the Bible lets us know that he gave the king of Balak instructions on how to get Israel to sin. See, can I tell you something? The devil knows that if you have leadership that's promoting sin, and sin begins to consume a nation, that God eventually will judge that nation. The enemy is trying to push the timeline. Come on, somebody. You know, the Bible says that in the book of Daniel chapter 7, verse 5, that the enemy thinks to change the times and the seasons or the laws. Amen. What do you see that's going on? You're seeing laws that are created, laws that promote, homosexuality, laws that promote abortion. You see, the main two laws that some of you all political party is pushing is abortion and homosexuality. Can I tell you something? When you read, when you go and you find out about Baal, the God of Baal, well, how did they serve Baal? How did they serve this God? Okay, all right. Well, this is how they serve this God. There would be an altar on fire, and they would take the infants, and they would literally toss the infants into the fire, and they would be burned alive. Okay. And then while this was going on, and the babies were screaming and hollering and being cooked in this fire, they would get together and they would have sex. Okay. All right. Men on men, women on women. Oh, glory to God. And this was how they worshiped the God of Baal. Can I tell you something? Okay. All right. All right. You wonder. Okay. It ain't no wonder. There are people that are still serving the God of Baal. And this is why they fight so hard. Come on. Oh, glory to God. I won't even go all into that. But let me show you something. If you go over to, Revelations 2, I believe it's 14. Yeah, 2 and 14. The Bible says, but I have a thing against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Whoa, 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 whoa. That, you know, Balaam. Okay, all right. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. So wait a moment. Wait a moment. Here we see God. He's talking to the churches, and he's saying, some of you all still holding to the doctrine of Balaam. Come on, you still serving Baal. You still endorsing people that serve Baal. Come on. You still telling your people, instead of telling your people to go and write a name in, come on, go and endorse someone that at least fear God. Come on, oh, glory to God. Can I tell you something? Some of your parents are wrong. Some of your pastors are wrong. Come on, oh, glory to God. Oh, they're dead wrong, because they're telling you, how many know that, what is this called when you're an accomplished? Come on, you an accomplished, okay, all right. Some of us are being an accomplished, and we got leaders that are being an accomplished. Oh, glory to God. If God has a problem, I remember when the Lord showed me this big, tall skyscraper, and babies were just falling from this big, tall skyscraper, and I looked, and there was a big, giant pile of babies, dead babies on the ground, and then the Lord took me up to the top of this skyscraper, and I began to see this big hole in the wall, and there was a demon standing beside this big hole in the wall, and there was babies that were lined up as far as I could see, and he was taking these babies that were in a line and walking towards him and just casting them down on the ground. Come on, casting them to their death. And so the Lord was showing me, oh, glory to God, these babies being destroyed. And if God has a problem with babies being destroyed, come on, oh, glory to God, you should have a problem with babies being destroyed. Well, what was the process? going back to the process. How do they serve Baal? They set the babies on fire. Okay, all right. What goes on with abortion? The baby is literally set on fire in the womb. Okay, and what's the other thing that's being pushed? Okay, all right. Bisexual relationship, bisexual sex. Come on. Okay, all right. Well, that was the way that they served Baal. All right. And so guess what? Baal worship is still going on. Why do you think these things are being pushed so hard? You got leaders that are serving Baal. Okay. Still. Oh, glory to God. All right. All right. And so God says he had a problem with those with them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Can I tell you what was going on? Since Balak could not get Balaam, the false prophet, who wouldn't step across that line and curse Israel, God wouldn't allow it. So he got with the king and he says, okay, all right, I tell you what, let me show you how to get them to sin. Come on. Let's trick them into serving our God. Come on, let's send women. Let's send our women, our beautiful women, into the camp and persuade them to come and to our feast, and then take them and bring them and have them to begin to worship Balaam. What did I say Balaam was? Balaam was Baal. Baal was the god that they set the children on fire. And then had homosexual sex in front of while this was going on, while the babies were screaming. Okay. All right. Because who's pushing this? All right. Who's pushing this? You know, what party is pushing this the most? Think about that. Because I want you to know that it's hypocritical for you all to sit around and ask God to save your children. And you're condemning another child, condemning children to death. Okay, all right. Think about that. All right. Some of this stuff is showing up in your home. The way you vote. Come on. This spirit is showing up in your home. You're an accomplice. We're being an accomplice. We're helping to promote sin. When you put someone up that's promoting the doctrine of Balaam. Now going back over to 2 Kings, 1 Kings 17, 1 Kings 17. The Bible says that the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee, he pronounces judgment upon Israel for their sins. He pronounces judgment, not only upon Israel, but he pronounces it right in the face of government and says, this is what's going to happen. And it's not going to rain until I say so. And the Bible says the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Cherith means separation. It means to cut away, or glory to God. You can see there's a separation going on. You can see that there's a separation going on in the body of Christ. Oh, glory to God. Those who are for God and those who are not for God. And that includes, when I say not for God, that includes the one that they think that they're serving God. But but they're really serving Baal. Oh, glory to God. All right. Baal was the god of killing babies, sacrificing babies, and homosexuality. Okay, all right, all right. And the Bible says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So they went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. So in other words, God was providing for the prophet supernaturally, who's a picture of a remnant that because he's receiving supernatural provision, he's being sustained in a time of judgment or in a time when there's a shortage in the land. Oh, glory to God. Wonderful picture of God sustaining the people of God. Oh, glory to God. And the Bible says, and I'm just about finished, and the Bible says that the brook dried up because there had been no rain. And the Bible says the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee to Zarephath. Zarephath means refinement. Come on. God wants to refine our lives. God wants to make our lives better, whether you believe it or not. Oh, glory to God. Which belongeth to Zidon. Zidon was a fishery. It was a place where the... And he said, there's a woman there. As a matter of fact, he said, there's a widow there, and I have commanded her to sustain thee, to take care of thee. Oh, glory to God. You know, when I look in the Bible, I'll just say this here. There are some people that God, I remember there's been times in my past, in my early walk with the Lord, and the Lord has told me I had received instructions to give, and I didn't do it. Oh, glory to God. Here, this woman had received instructions to sustain the prophet. I might as well talk about this. To sustain or to take care of the prophet of God. Oh, glory to God. And when he got there, the famine, the shortage because of the lack of rain was so bad that it was even affecting the surrounding nations to the point that she didn't have any food. And so she was down to her last morsel of bread. And she told the man of God, I just can't do it. Come on. Oh, glory to God. You would have caught me about 6 months ago. I'm paraphrasing. I probably could have did it, but I can't do it now because I only have enough for me and my son. I'm about to dress this. I'm about to go and dress this, and we're going to eat it. Oh, glory to God. In other words, forget what the Lord told her to do. She's a picture of she being a woman is a picture of the church. Oh, glory to God. And here she is in a place of plenty, but she doesn't have a husband. She's in a place of Zarephath, which was a fishery. So if nothing else, they had fish. Come on. Oh, glory to God. At least fish, you could say that fish was probably or could have been abundant in that area. Oh, glory to God. But she's a widow. She probably didn't know how to do any of that, even go fishing. And she's down to her last bit of bread. But the man of God was just encouraged her. Come on, because sometimes God, let me just say it this way. Sometimes God will challenge your faith because God honors faith. Oh, glory to God. God honors faith. The Bible says without faith that you can't please God. So he challenges her faith. Oh, glory to God. When was the last time the Lord challenged your faith? Oh, glory to God. You know, sometimes we on a Sunday morning, when we go to get an offering, we just grab what we want to give God. We just, you know, take a dollar or two. You know, sometimes you walk around the offering plate and you see all kinds of $1 bills in there. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You may see a five or a 10 in there, but you see a whole lot of ones. Oh, glory to God, because the people have not been taught to be mindful of God. And next time you go to give, why don't you ask God, God, what would you have me to give? You're talking about seeing the sower overtaking the reaper. Or is that vice versa? There's been some times when the Lord has told me to give. I remember one day I was at Cracker Barrel, and the Lord told me to give the waitress, I think it was about $10 or something like that, for a tip, and I gave the waitress the amount God told me to give to the waitress, and then next thing you know, somebody walked by and picked up my ticket and kept on walking to the register. Oh, glory to God. Paid for my meal. It was a time when the Lord told me to put the whole $10 that I had in my pocket. I had to go to work on the Space Center that night, and he told me to put the whole $10 in, and praise God, I know I needed gas, and And that was my lunch money. All that was combined. As a matter of fact, I, you know, hey, I was down to my last. I think I had not left my wallet home. Oh, glory to God. But there was somebody in the church that owed me money. And when I put it, when I obeyed God and I put it down, when I put it in the basket, the person that owed me money came up and gave me the money that they owed me. They were at that service that night. I had literally given up on them, giving me the money that was due me. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will take care of his people. He'll take care of his people. He knows where the plenty is. Oh, glory to God. He knows how to bless you and sustain you. As she sustained the man of God, she was sustained. And not only her, but the Bible says, and her house. It didn't just say, and her and her son, but it says, and her house. Putting you in mind, oh, glory to God, that there was probably other relatives that were sustained also.
Leadership calls judgment to come upon a nation. The decisions that leadership make.
Praise the Lord. Judgment. Thank you for tuning into Kingdom Sounds broadcast. We pray you enjoyed the word today. And if you would like to sow, you can do so at Zelle 321-213-1218 or Cash App at VIP Ministry 250. If you'd like for us to partner with you in prayer, please call us at 321-514-9679. Our service times is Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. and we are located at 250 North Babcock in Melbourne, Florida, 32935. We pray we'll see you there.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. Denny Nugent here with today's question. It's from Colossians 2:8, where the Apostle Paul warns the church at Colossae not to be, quote, taken captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men. Now, John, all of us have traditions. Many are harmless. So what exactly is Paul talking about here?
Paul is not talking about traditions that are merely customs, habits that have been passed down from generation to generation through a culture, or in some cases, family tradition. We talk about family tradition being a wonderful thing. We have in our own family traditions that we have done, passed down from our parents to myself and my wife, and passed on to our kids, and now passed down to grandchildren. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about good, kind of wholesome, memorialized traditions that belong to the history of families and cultures. When we talk about tradition, we're really talking about religion that is humanly designed. We're talking about traditional religious viewpoints, the kind of things that are also identified as the elementary principles of the world, the immature ideologies, philosophies, and psychologies that are part of the satanic and human system invented by demons or by men. They are the philosophies and empty deceptions that Paul warns about. So, caught up in that idea of tradition, the tradition of men, is all that is outside the revelation of God. To borrow the words of Paul to the Corinthians, any idea raised up against the knowledge of God, that's a tradition to be avoided.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. If you'd like more in-depth teaching from Colossians, visit us at MacArthurCommentaries.com.